Later in the spring, the Nazis would score major victories in Prussia, Bavaria, and a number of smaller German states, in each case getting 35, 36, 37, almost 40% of the vote. Astonishing in a political system in which there were 30 different political parties. Then in July, the Nazis won 38% of the vote in national elections, making the NSDAP, for the first time, astonishingly, the largest political party in Germany. Hindenburg, however, refused to make Hitler chancellor, and new elections were called for November when no government without Nazi participation could be formed. Hindenburg despised Hitler. He constantly referred to him as that little Bohemian corporal. Hitler wasn't from Bohemia. He had been a corporal in the First World War. But nonetheless, Hindenburg, who detested Hitler for forcing him to run in these elections in the presidential campaigns and in the runoff, was not about to make him chancellor if he could avoid it. In the second Reichstag elections held in November of 1938, the Nazis, for the first time since 1928, when they began their dramatic ascent, the Nazis for the first time suffered a defeat, breaking their streak of electoral victories and provoking a crisis in the Nazi leadership. In November of 1932, the party received roughly 32% of the vote. They were still the largest political party, but a secret internal memorandum drawn up by Joseph Goebbels and his propaganda staff clearly indicated that as far as their own research, in effect survey research, led them to conclude, the Nazis had reached the peak of their electoral potential. If new elections occurred, they feared this very socially diverse constituency which the Nazis had put together, a constituency that was based not on a commitment to any sort of Nazi ideology, but on a negative assault on the Weimar Republic, this constituency was beginning to unravel. If it comes to another election, Goebbels concluded, then the consequences will be catastrophic. Indeed, in December of 1932, in regional elections, the party continued to hemorrhage votes. The NSDAP had indeed reached the outer limits of its popularity in anything like free elections. It seemed on the verge of unraveling. The second in command of the party deserted Hitler at this point, Gregor Strasser, believing that Hitler had mismanaged the party's leadership. And then, astonishingly, tragically, at the end of January 1933, as a result of an intrigue behind the scenes by conservative politicians, Hindenburg, since no other sort of coalition government seemed at all possible, Hindenburg was convinced to appoint Adolf Hitler Chancellor of Germany. His cabinet would include only a handful of Nazis, would be dominated by conservatives of one stripe or another. Hitler could be controlled, they believed. And on January 30th, 1933, Adolf Hitler, at a point when his own party and his own political fortune seemed to be in decline, was appointed Chancellor of the German Republic. It was a political reversal of extraordinary proportions from 1928 to 1933 and the Nazi assumption of power. And it was a bitter and catastrophic irony, both for Germany and for Europe, indeed for the world. The reasons for Nazi success can be summed up in a number of factors. The legacy of the lost war and of Versailles poisoned the political atmosphere in the Weimar Republic, creating the crisis of legitimacy for the Weimar Republic that we have discussed. The chronic economic woes of the Weimar regime also meant that there was no such thing as stability during this brief flirtation with democracy. An inflated period after the First World War, hyperinflation in 1922-23, a successful economic stabilization in the mid-20s, but it was actually a very harsh economic stabilization. followed by the Great Depression of 1929 and beyond. It was also the power and inventiveness of Nazi propaganda that cleverly played on the failures of the Weimar system. The Nazis realized early on, after 1928, that selling the ideological package that the party stood for was not the way to win votes. That might get them 3, 4, 5, 6%, but would not catapult them into the mainstream. Instead, this policy of negative campaigning and perpetual campaigning would be drawn upon. And finally, there was the inability of the Weimar parties to deal with the economic problems of the period. Alone among the parties, the major parties in Germany, the NSDAP had never been in power. It was not sullied, its record not soiled by bad decisions. It was not responsible for the hyperinflation, not responsible for the harsh stabilization of the mid-20s, not responsible for the Great Depression. It created an ideal situation, an ideal vantage point from which the party could attack the mainstream of German political life. And by 1933, the impossible had happened. Adolf Hitler had become Chancellor of the German state.
I'm Tom Rollins, president of the Teaching Company. Thank you for listening to these lectures from the Superstar Teachers series. We hope you enjoyed them as much as we did. To receive a copy of our latest catalog or to order more courses, please give us a call at 1-800-TEACH-12. That's 1-800-TEACH-12.